Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, Troy and Kelly here, and we are the hosts of Beyond the Blinds podcast, where you'll get all your celebrity gossip needs.
We'll take you beyond the celebrity blinds and dive deeper into the dark side of Hollywood.
This podcast is full of scandal, intrigue, and gossip surrounding your favorite celebrities.
Listen now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't be rotted.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Quincy Jones.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a balance, but like, I mean, have you found that you can do both successfully, like have a relationship and do comedy?
No, you can't have it all. you can't be greedy.
You hear that, young comics? The future is bleak.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah, so you're in love right now, huh? Well, say goodbye to a potential career.
Yeah, man. That's real. That's real.
It is.
Some hard truths for you rookies out there.
Dude, I've sacrificed a couple relationships. And
sure.
It's, you know, I guess a bummer.
Yeah, I think every comic does eventually where it's a thing where the job attracts them,
right?
And then the job pushes them away.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The women love to be the object of it. They want to be the attention or close to the attention.
Right.
The minute that they're not the main attention, then they're like,
yes.
Okay. What is this? Comedy is more important than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because every time I'm with you, Dave Chappelle drops in at the store.
So, and I miss it.
Yeah, and I miss it because we're sitting here watching a movie and you dictated this night.
Yeah. Thanks. See, now you used to not know about that kind of stuff until maybe weeks later.
Right.
Now, because of Instagram, you're sitting on the couch and then they post a picture going, Jerry Seinfeld just walked in for the first time since 1977. You're like, yeah. Fuck!
Yeah, man. I remember I was there that night in the main room.
What?
And then I left because I was catching a red eye to DC.
Yeah.
Oh.
And in this motherfucker, I'm on the plane, and they're like,
see all the posts.
I was like, come the fuck on.
When that happens, every comic posts it, which is like just adding insult to injury.
Right.
You're like, oh god, just a different angle, another filter. I get it. He was there, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
Is there a guy that you have seen out here that? Like, who was the first when you came here from Seattle 4 years ago? Yeah,
right.
So who was your first, like, oh shit, LA is the place to be for this because I get to see this guy on a Tuesday night that I wouldn't get to see anywhere else.
Shit, man. I remember when Dan Cook first dropped in at the improv. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think, a comedy juice night or something like that. Saw Louis. I saw Louis randomly drop in at the improv again. The store. I've seen Chappelle when Chappelle tapped my friend Jack.
I was there for that.
Yeah, I was there as well.
Yeah, that was incredible.
It was great. And
when he brought him up on stage, talking about Jack Knight. Yeah, he Jack and who was the other
Valentino.
Dude? Yeah, Valentino. And they had just done, I think, a laundromat or a pizza spot or something.
Yeah.
And they came in.
They were grinding.
And then they were, what, in the corner, and Chappelle popped in during the, I guess, the open mic part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And right? And he bumped him, and they were going to... How did he pull them up or something?
Well, no, they were outside.
That's
they
right.
They were outside because they weren't old enough to get in.
That's right.
And then he's like, where are these kids, man? Bring them in, bring them in. And Dave's just busy smoking on stage. Yeah. And everything. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful.
And then he brought him on stage, and he had Jack do bits.
Yeah.
And then, like, gave him feedback on stage.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dave is sort of like the stand-up Bill Murray, where you never know where they're going to show up.
Yeah, that's a great fucking...
Yeah, you never know what they're going to do, but...
photobomb a wedding.
Yeah, but if you hang out with them, you will get a badass story.
Yeah.
First time I met Dave was at the Montreal Comedy Festival, and it was at a bar, and he just slapped a boombox on the bar, and Godfrey called me over and was like... And Dave just kind of looked at me and goes, hey, dude, you know reggae? And no, but yeah. I'm going to lie. Yeah. I'm in that situation. Like, yeah. Yeah. He could have asked me in that situation, like, if I know how to pilot an F-18, I'd be like, absolutely. Hop in, Dave.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, so, I can fly a helicopter. Yeah.
So, I'll make this work for the friendship.
Yeah, so he's like, you know reggae? And I'm like, yeah, of course I know reggae. And he starts going, you like this artist? And he starts playing some reggae song that sounds like every fucking other reggae song. And
there goes any reggae artist ever coming on the podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Snow. Sorry. You're not gonna make. You didn't.
Wait, Snow.
Whoever that is.
Wait, you just made me think of Informer. Is that Snow?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Quince, what a great shout out.
Shake your boo boom now.
Yeah, don't act like you don't know the words.
Oh, come on now, we all do.
When was the first time you heard that song? Maybe an eighth grade dance.
Yeah, probably about that.
I was thinking about this.
We were all doing the Running Man. British Knights were hot. It was dark times. Dark times. Dark times in the 90s, baby. The 90s.
It was dark times until L.A. Gear came along and put the lights on the sneakers. Yeah. And then it literally illuminated
everything.
That
should have been a bigger move or just a bigger phenomenon than it was. I feel like it was cool, but...
The lights died so quickly.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Because like I remember the commercials. They were like all black. And a pitch black room, pitch black shoe, and it light up, and it make it look like, whoa, you see all the kids' faces.
Right.
What? I gotta give me some of those.
Yeah.
And then you get it, and like you're in the store, you're hitting it, and it's lighting up, you're like, yeah. And then by the time you wore it to school 3 days in, it's like flickering. It's like you didn't pay your electricity bill or some shit. You're hella sad and shit. And then no, everyone's looking at you like, you got beat up LA Gears,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
They used to light up.
What happened to you?
A week ago, these things were the shit.
Yeah. Used to light up. I don't know
where. Yeah, and then they didn't have like a way to turn out the battery or anything. Nah. They just said, you're screwed. Now
it's almost like a reflection of your feet. Like, you must have some stinky-ass feet that the lights just wanted to shut off just to spite you.
Hey, with the lights are on, those are some cool shoes. Lights go off. Those are LA Gears, dog. You bum. You bum. What the hell?
Oh, shit. I had the Kamikazes, the Sean Kemps. Did you ever pick up a pair of those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I figure you guys are both from, you know, Seattle. That's probably like a must-have.
I mean, the Gary Payton's, the gloves. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of Seattle.
Did anybody have the Detlef Shrimps?
Nah, nobody.
What were those? The New Balances?
Yeah, it's New Balances and like a box cut from Rudy's. The first Rudy's. You got a box cut from Rudy's.
What part of Seattle are you from again?
Central District.
Yeah. What did you ever... Giggles? Like, what was your starting point for comedy in Seattle?
Laughs. Laughs. And then... I was there when Giggles started. What was on the deep? What was dying?
Were you there when it turned into a strip club?
Yeah, I was there before it turned into a strip club. Nice. I remember seeing Moot. You know, you were down here already full time.
Yeah.
I think it was just Moot, Cummings, and Slater.
Oh, nice.
Those were the people that like were a class above me.
And how do they? What sort of when you start making comedy friends up there, like, and people start coming down, like, at what point do you start to hear like, oh, you gotta like do like maybe a couple years and then go down, or did you have your own plan already formulated?
I mean, I knew when I was ready to turn pro.
Yeah,
like, I knew. Like, I was like,
you got the Detlef Shrimp box cut.
I did a year full time comedy in Seattle, and then was like, I'm ready.
No shit,
I'll do it.
Wow. Yeah. Now, did you have other people tell you, or
Seattle's passive aggressive? Nobody's ever gonna tell you shit. They're never gonna support you openly.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, unless you're hot. Then they'll be like, yeah, right. That guy's from Seattle. He's from the town.
Yeah, like when Jeff Dye came down, everyone was like, well, yeah, last comic, like, this is the move.
Yeah.
But if you're going to bounce, it's almost like you're leaving the wolf pack of grinders.
Yeah.
And it is such a big deal to move that it just, know what it does? It shines a light on the people that aren't ready or that are so scared of that big challenge that they're like, fuck, man, like, you sure you're ready? Like, right? I'm sure you got some of that.
They leave, and then but what's worse is, like, not the people saying, you sure you're ready, trying to, like, you know, implant self-doubt. It's the ones that are, like, who came back. We're trying to implant stuff.
You know? Oh, and it's like, it's like, well, just because you failed.
Yeah, like, you know, like, what, you know, like, my goal, the first thing was, like, make it through the first year here.
Yeah.
LA does everything it can in its power to get rid of people the first year.
How so?
The breakups, the tickets, the parking, the traffic, the whack job that you got to work to fucking go on auditions, a relationship. Like, those are the six killers that LA is like...
just like throwing like ninja stars
at you. After the year, you're all tattered and torn. You come to like your anniversary, it's like, oh, you made it. All right. Where's the audition and callback? And you're like, yeah, this is where I move.
Yeah.
You don't even get the part. You're just happy for a callback.
Yeah.
Because people move here, they're like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna kill it. Yeah. I'm gonna just come down here. And then like LA's like, really? Really? That's what
you just got. You know, there's like 5 million other people just like you, man. They're also trying to get that Olive Garden commercial.
Yeah.
And then, LA will just bitch slap you down to the point where, yes, just getting a callback after being told no, no, no so many times. It's like if a girl that you're dating seriously doesn't want to do anything physical with you, anything, and then like if she gives you a hand job all of a sudden, you're like, this is the greatest moment of my life.
I'll be honest. I still get pumped when I get a hand job.
She used lotion and everything.
I don't know what the 1% of life's like. I wasn't prepared for that. Lotion. Oh, I'm hoping for a couple strokes and a wink afterwards. You know what I mean?
Listen, man, you be in the game long enough. Eventually.
Everyone's got different paths, different journeys.
Yeah, that's
right,
you can
only hope that yours is a pit stop with a lotion hand job, all right? Hopefully.
Well, yeah, and then
you have to have that blind. I want to say though, like the blind expectations, but also like the delusion. Like we talked about this before, because there's such a fine balance where it's like the delusion to get you down here and keep you active, but then like Brad was saying, like the bitch slap from LA, like they're quick to put you in your place to be like, yo, man, be patient, which is the toughest thing for anybody starting out to.
Yeah,
I mean, but you got down here. Was the Echoes at Sunset show that you were getting me on, right?
Yeah, Echoes.
I mean, you just immediately inserted yourself, and that was a smart move on your part.
But for me, it was like the goal was like it was death or make it here. Like I just wasn't going to go back to Seattle.
Okay,
that was it. Like it was that serious.
Well, I think that's like, a helpful mentality, because if you have like the little bit of, you know what, I'll give it. You know, if year
I'll
two
give
isn't,
it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have any sort of ounce of I can go back, then you will.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'll give it 1 year to make it.
Nah. I was just like, dude, just don't go back to Seattle. Yeah.
When my LA Gear lights go out, then I'll go back.
When they come back in style and then go out again, that is a full term of life being a circle. I will go back home.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, Seattle's great. Great like training ground. Like there were some fun times.
Sure.
There, but. It's a scene that is like it's a budding scene where it's like, okay, you do your time and then you move on. If you move there to do comedy, you're taking steps backwards.
Yeah, well, it's like, and I tell people this that are in other cities, stay in your city for a little while.
Yeah.
Just become a beast in your city, become like a little bit of a local legend. But then right before you're about to be that Seattle comic, that Dallas comic, that Chicago, then move. Then move, because then you at least come to LA or New York with a little bit of like momentum behind you. You're not just gonna run in as an open micer and try to get on the same.
But
show.
You're starting over anyways, unless you're starting in New York, like then you're starting over anyway. So like you're gonna be doing open mics, you're gonna do the networking thing, you're gonna be hanging out at the clubs, right? You're gonna be it's a grind. I love the grind, but it is, when I look back on it now, I'm like, oh my god, how many relationships did I burned,
dude, I know.
To fucking hang out at the Improv and hope Saratella books me in Juice. To hope Saratella would wink at me and the kingmaker of comedy Juice would be like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bullshit. Like I've swallowed a lot of bullshit to get to this point. It's like, okay, I think.
What is, has your perspective changed over the last year on that type of stuff? Like because you talk about the hanging out at clubs and stuff. It is a necessary part of the grind.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I mean, there can come a point when you just get fed up with it. And you're like, you know what, man? Like, why do I got to do that to, like, be around and show face? That's not helping me get on stage. But
for me, the thing is, like, I put it sort of like drinking. You know what I'm saying? Like. When I see comics like drinking at like open mic, I'm like, what are you celebrating? We are still wallowing in piss and shit. Why are we? Why are you drinking a Stella Artois
for three minutes?
Yeah, no. So I'd rather go grind out, do three mics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then maybe go do show FaceTime at the fucking store.
Yeah.
Or I never go to Laugh Factory, honestly.
Well, they kick you out. Right?
It's like the most non-comic friendly comedy club.
It's like once you get to be the regulars, then it's cool. But yeah,
But even
as a
then,
guy
man, it's,
coming up,
even then, it's just there. Well, there's less spots, first of all, you know,
at the factory.
Yeah, than like the store, for example, obviously, because there's one room and there's five a night, and there's, you know, they are real good at having a rotation and sticking to it, and you know,
but if you're hot. Like, Ray will get booked when that Heat movie dropped. Oh, he was everywhere.
Maybe a little bit, but dude, I wish I could tell you that, like, helped for spot wise more. I mean, and even with the factory, like, there's been maybe a 2 months gone by where I've been booked maybe twice, and it just goes and flows. And then there'll be a span where 2 weeks I'm there three or four times a week. And so it's humbling, man, because you.
That's the word. That's what L.A. and comedy does. That's what L.A. comedy does. It humbles the fuck out of you.
Dude, as soon as I got back from shooting The Heat, and Bobby Lee, remember when I left, he goes, hey, enjoy it, bro. Like, live it up. He goes, you can come right back, and shit's like, he goes, don't, like, buy into, like, think everything's going to change. Because, like, and it was, I needed to hear that because I didn't get off that plane. It was an unbelievable experience, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Now I'm going to get some 11:30s at the store. Like, yes. Tommy's going to start hooking it up. No more 12:45 fucking in front of six people. Mm. Dude, it was still that. I got maybe one, and I never like got in Tommy's face about it because that just wasn't my style, but it was like, oh, it doesn't stop, like, until you really are just
undeniably the hottest person on the front.
Well, the club needs you.
Yeah, the club needs us. But we think that we need the club more than the club needs us.
Yeah.
If comics stopped, like, if all the great comics left all the comedy clubs and we, like, did some other shit, and, like, obviously there'd be another wave, but they wouldn't be as talented. They'd be a bunch of rookies, you know what I'm saying, who think that they're ready.
Yeah.
Right? And then the quality would drop.
Yeah.
And then the comedy club would be like, well, we need the real shit. It's sort of like the day, like, right now we're in, like, the internet age of, like, you know, Vines and sketches and shit.
YouTubers
trying to go viral.
And all that. Yeah.
And it's like, yo, the real shit is going to, like, it's a circle. The real comics are going to, all the motherfuckers who've been wallowing in the Midwest, fucking making like 100 racks a year, just fucking going from Nebraska to Oklahoma and shit.
Yeah.
The real comics are going to have to come back.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful feeling to be a part of that because I'm like, oh, yeah. I felt it this year.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, I never said this is my year, but this year I was like, something's going to change.
Yeah.
Something has to change.
Well, you kind of said that out loud, like, what, meditate that or what?
Yeah, man, I was arguing with somebody, and I was just like, you know what? I can't wait for 2016, because this is going to be a beautiful year. It is going to be a year where some major shit happens. Everybody's like, what?
You were right.
Yeah. And I manifested that shit. I manifested the fuck out of that. I remember telling my friend Tawanda in fucking Boston, I was like, yo, man, real niggas is coming back in style, man. For real, man. Like, it's for real. Like, there's been a lot of fake shit flying out there, but they're going to start, the real comics are going to emerge again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll even look at Bridgetown this year. It's like, there's a bunch of solid heavy hitters.
Yeah.
There's no motherfucking Vine celebrity.
Yeah.
Well,
what happens with the Vines and the YouTubers is people see they have a lot of fans, a lot of followers, a lot of, and then they like, oh man, they're stars, they're great, let's stick a microphone in front of them, and then they put them on a show, or they put them in a, like, I was watching The Daily Show, and they had a YouTuber on that just had a new movie, and it became very obvious very quickly. It's like, oh, that's why you're on YouTube and not like she couldn't. She was trying to make a joke, and
well, because she's used to being viewed in a tiny little box, and now you put them on this, like, bigger stage with like a mic and, like,
and
longer than 4 minutes of content.
And Trevor Noah, who is an actual comic, sitting across from her and going like, "Oh, I gotta put you on my back and carry this shit."
And this isn't to say that there's not some that can,
Like, there are talented
like
people.
King Baxim, King Bach,
what?
Whatever. He's got more money than all of us. King of the world.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, like, he seems to be transitioning, like, and getting some opportunities from that. But for, I think, for, like, live purposes, or the ones that are trying to go from, you know, Instagram to stand up. I'm just waiting for like the Instagram models who have like 5 million followers to just start doing like,
I can't wait for that day.
Talk like a talk show or something, because it's like that the proof in the pudding, man. It's like those networks, and they do want to go, oh cool, you have that many eyeballs, like just looking at that shit. Well, then that'll probably carry over if we put you on here and have you keep doing that.
That's where the labels always make the mistake. They think that all these followers and supporters translate to dollars. Mm-hmm. It's like, nah, we can view this half-naked woman for free on Instagram. I don't want to see
and not,
her do comedy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And not have to hear her opinions.
Right, yeah. I can objectify her in the privacy of my own cell phone home, and I don't need to hear her speak. Yeah. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy, by the way? Like, how much in your act do you talk about the, like, for your special coming up? Mm-hmm. Like, how much of that is observational stuff? How much is personal stuff? How much is just over? I mean, also with.
Quick plug.
Yeah.
The special, Monday, April 4th.
Yes.
At the
Terragram
Ballroom.
Two shows.
Tickets just went on sale. So there are tickets available. This is going to be.
This will sell out.
Fuck yeah.
When you got Ellen backing you, come on.
Dude, yeah.
That helps.
What was that like?
I mean, it's what we all train for. It's like, you know that you're not. It's sort of like a lot of people, you have to have an ego to do this, but you also have to be able to check your ego when someone bigger comes around. So obviously, this is Ellen, a legend. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's done all this shit. So it's like, I don't need to out funny Ellen. No. All I need to do is remember the prompts that they gave me, right? Get my timing down, boom. That's all I had to do.
Wait, remember the what that they gave you?
The prompts.
All right.
Yeah. So it was just like, okay.
There was a pre-interview, yeah?
Yeah, there was a bunch of pre-interviews.
what kind of stuff did they?
Well, I mean, there's a thing like they came at me and I had chemo earlier in the day. I was sleepy. And like they're like, hey, this is the producer from Ellen. I was like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, where do you, like, I know this isn't Ellen. Like, what, who put you up to this? They're like, no, it's Ellen. I was like, okay, well, you're like, well, are you excited? I was like, yeah, I'm excited, but, kind of tired as well.
Just had some poison running through my veins.
So they're like,
might call me back after a blizzard.
Yeah, like,
a little more energy.
They're like, can you get excited? I was like, listen, if you give me the spot, I'll knock it out the park. Yeah, I promise you that.
You did, by the way.
But right now, I cannot give you this fake energy that you want. Oh. It's like, okay, I have my boss contact you. I was like, cool. So it was a couple of days later, he contacts me, and he's like, hey, what's going on? You want me to tell your story? I was like, yeah, here's my story. Da, da, da. How would you react if Ellen said this? I'm like, are you kidding? You know what I'm saying? I gave it. I was like, oh, yeah. All right, yeah.
I'm going to yes and everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I was like, oh, it was okay.
And then, we're probably going to cover this in the intro of the episode, but just so we kind of summarize the situation when we say chemo and Ellen and all that jazz. You got the call that no one ever wants to get, and you were told that you have mesothelioma.
Yeah.
The daytime commercial cancer.
Yeah. Order late night if you're feeling freaky. Yeah. If you're feeling freaky, those late night infomercials for lawyers that no one's awake at that hour, but if you or someone you know has been exposed to asbestos.
Yeah. You got that. And rather than just say, oh, well, you decided that you wanted to make something that will last forever.
Yeah.
Something that will, no matter what happens with you, in your life, this will always be around. This will always be something that people can look back on and say, fuck yeah, Quincy did it.
Yeah.
And so you started a Kickstarter to have your own special.
Yeah.
And sort of this snowballed and people started getting on board. Was Ellen the first sort of major celebrity that was starting to help you out? Or
I mean, the Kingmaker,
mm-hmm.
as Judd Apatow, definitely showed a lot of love.
Oh, shit. Awesome.
Mark Flanagan at Largo showed a lot of love. Bill Burr was the first one. Nice. Bill Burr was the first one.
When you got diagnosed, this was over a year ago, yeah?
No, this is less than a year. We found out it was cancer in July, and we found out they gave me a prognosis in August.
Yeah.
And I was like, instantaneous, I was like, nah, I'm not, that's not what's going to happen.
Denial, yeah.
I was just like, no, it wasn't even denial. It was just like, when like you start researching, you're like, okay, it's cancer, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I was like, and they tell you you got a year to live. You're like, well, cite your source. You know what I'm saying? Like, really tell me where are you getting, because they had to do a study. And so I tracked down a study. It was like, oh, everybody's 65 to 75 years old who got this.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, yeah, because they're all the guys that were in offices and bad...
Right.
Asbestos-ridden... So, yeah, they got it. They got it later. And we had Bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show on here, and also my dad went through cancer. And basically... When they tell you you have a year to live, you have to realize what they're giving you is an average.
Right.
They're giving you the average. Now, what is an average? That's somewhere below
and somewhere above. Yeah.
So you have to understand that you could very well be one of those people that are above.
Yeah.
And you could outkick your coverage. You could definitely hit that.
Did you ask for a handful of opinions after you got the first one?
I mean, the way the dude told me was just so cold. And I know why. I know why. Because, like, they don't want to give people false hope and then get sued, right? Everyone's scared of getting sued. So I understood. Yeah. But at the same time, I didn't feel like I had the respect. So I was kind of upset. But I didn't ever let that seed get planted in my head. Like, oh, I got a year to live. I got to be sad. I was like, nah, fuck that. What do you say? Whatever we got to do to fucking survive, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
So they're like, chemo. I was like, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Mm-hmm. And I remember going through chemo. It was like after like the third round, I was like, "Let's stop. Let's stop this right now. I am ready to get off this train."
Why?
Oh, dude, it's brutal.
It's awful.
Drains you.
Like it's so cancer's so common that it's in the media now. You realize that? Like even in Deadpool, Creed,
yeah,
fucking everywhere. Like cancer is everywhere. Everyone's been touched by cancer, so it's not as.
Are you saying Creed the band is a cancer to music? What are you trying to say?
No, Creed the movie.
Okay, Creed the movie went.
But Creed the band also. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean,
no, it's... with arms wide open under the sunlight.
Well, you are from Seattle.
Oh man, that was the only song. But
but you're right. It's become such commonplace where. If someone in a TV show says, oh, he's going through cancer, it's not foreign to people.
Right.
Everyone has been hit by it in some way, shape, or form, whether it be themselves, a relative, whatever. We all are someone that we really like and look up to in the media. Mm-hmm. It's happening like – so
– I heard you say on Pete Holmes' podcast that you started laughing when you got the news because you were like kind of – right? Like,
yeah.
Because it was like shock.
Yeah. I was laughing – Yeah, it was. I laughed when they told me I was in Jersey when they told me it was cancer, and I laughed because I was like, "Here I was thinking it was celiac disease, and I wasn't eating bread for so long, and now I can eat regular sandwiches again. I'm so relieved that this is cancer and not more serious celiac disease."
You get to talk about that
fucking,
in the special.
Fucking comic mentality.
No, man. I was just like, no, because it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been having a stomach problem, so I remember when I cut the gluten out, I felt better.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, celiac disease, cool, boom, boom, boom. Wasn't even really tripping. December 30, 2014 was when the belly started filling up and getting fluid, and then all 6 months of last year, the first 6 months, was just me in and out the hospitals, getting my stomach drained, getting 4 to 6 liters drained off my stomach every single time.
Jesus.
So then it was like, okay, when they did a biopsy June 15th, and then, like, I was went on tour, and then I was just a tour of hospitals, basically, because I was in and out of Boston, New York Hospital, and Jersey. And it was in Jersey where they're like, it's cancer. I was like, go fucking figure. I can eat bread again, dude? That's what the fuck you're saying. Like,
that's what you heard.
That's what, like, okay, yeah, cancer, right? Run the test. Oh, that's the final test? Cool. But I can eat bread? Don't give me this gluten-free diet anymore, dude.
You immediately went to Olive Garden and was bottomless like, breakfast,
pasta,
motherfucker.
Pasta, carbs. No. So then, like, I came back to L.A., and that's when I realized the healthcare system's fucked. Because it's like, first of all, I had to Google what a cancer doctor's called. I was like, yo, I need to see a doctor. They're like, what do you? I was like, I have cancer. They're like, well, what do you have, HMO or PPO? I was like, I have cancer. I don't know what you're asking me. I don't know what those are.
Yeah.
She's like, no, those are type of insurance. I was like, I never heard those words before in my life. Can you explain? She's like, well, you need to go. So I had to go to another doctor to hear I had cancer to get referred to an oncologist. And then he said that it was 6 weeks to wait.
What?
And I was like, that's what's not going to happen.
Right.
So I went to the ER like a couple days later. It was like, yeah, I got cancer. I got ascites. I haven't had treatment. And here it is. And they're like, okay, and instantly. And I was in the hospital for 45 days. 45 straight days in the county hospital.
Just getting tests done? Just getting
tests,
drained?
Yeah, it's a fucking scam. Like, it's a scam. And I'm not one of those people railing against health care, but it's a fucking hustle. It's a
market. You didn't need to be there for that long.
Not, you know what? I was there for so long. Like, here's the thing. We as normal people, if we encounter a problem, we're like, okay, well, all right, this isn't working. This isn't working. We look up on the internet. Okay, what's the most craziest thing going to be? Oh, okay. All right, it's a transmission. You know what I'm saying? I heard a knocking around. I thought it was something else.
Yeah.
These guys, I'd been in and out the hospital, in their hospital, for 6 months, and they never thought to think it was cancer before that. That's crazy to me. And then they find out it's cancer. They're like, well, we got to see. We got to test your, we got to test the fluid. I was like, cool, test the fluid. They're like, well, we got to test the lining of your lung. I was like, we'll do that. And then it took like a week and a half to get the fucking results back. And then they're like, well, the cancer spread. I was like, well, I've been here for so fucking long. Of course the cancer spread. You guys haven't done anything.
Yeah.
I've been here in the hospital for this long, and nothing has happened.
There was a lot of just waiting around, yeah?
Every day they come in at 7:30 in the morning for like 5 minutes at best. And they're like, hey, what's going to happen today is you're going to stay here another day. That's pretty much happened. We'll see you again tomorrow. And you're like,
ask grace for the purple jello.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it's just like, you start losing it. And I remember I got out of the county and I was like, I went and did two open mics because I was ready to tell these jokes. Mm-hmm. And then
you were writing in the hospital. Yeah.
Oh yeah. All the time. I write all the time. And then I got out of the hospital. I went and did two open mics and I was like, you know what? I still don't feel 100%. I went to St. Joe's in fucking Burbank. And that's when they were like, oh, you had a heart attack. I was like, no, I've been in the hospital for about 40 days. Yeah. It's impossible I had a heart attack. Like, you have a blood clot the size of a quarter in the base of your heart. You had a heart attack. And, yeah, we need to put you in blood thinners, but we can't put you in blood thinners because you go through chemo. And we have to talk to your oncologist. And you don't have an oncologist. So it was just like,
holy fuck. What the
That's an overwhelming amount of information.
I remember I was there for 5 days. I remember me and my girl at the time, I broke down. I was like, this is it. I'm never going to get out of the fucking hospital.
Understandable. Yeah, I was going to say, like, at that point, like, what is the at the forefront of your mind? Like, the cancer and the – because they've given you a timetable, yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that even – now is your concern, like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in a hospital. Like, what is
– I mean, I never felt like I was going to die, if that makes sense. I never felt like that. They told me, but I didn't accept that. And I didn't, like, blindly, like, oh, no. I just was like, nah, I could stretch this out. Yeah. I could burn the light. Mm-hmm. I could burn the light in this fucking shit. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to keep it 100%. I appreciate you guys. Because what they can attest to is a human spirit, the will to survive.
Oh, shit. Dude.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, thought, like, we watched the movie, what was it, with Franco, where he gnawed off his arm or some shit?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's pretty much what you
gotta
do.
That shouldn't happen. That was impossible.
Yeah. So, like, when they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to – no, I'm not.
That's your opinion.
I appreciate you. You read more books.
Yeah.
I get it. You got more student debt. You're big time. I'm not – hearing what you're saying, I can't allow what you're saying to affect me.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it, but I got to do this shit. And so that's when it was like, I was like, whatever we got to do. I remember going through chemo, dog. Like, the first time chemo, they didn't tell me what I was going to get into. And it just floored me. Like, it was just like, I slept for like 2 days afterwards.
Yeah.
I didn't eat, didn't drink. Just
it, it's ridiculous. Can you compare it to, I mean, you never felt anything, any fatigue like that before, no?
No, I mean, the poison, because you, like, when it's happening, you're fine. And, like, you close your eyes and, like, you're just drifting. You know, you understand, you're like, you're not eating. You lose your appetite.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I got a numbness in my right arm. You hear ringing in your ears. You know what I'm saying? Your taste buds adjusting.
Yeah.
Like, I can't eat pesto anything.
Yeah. So, My dad's taste buds went nuts. Like, my mom would cook him his favorite meal, and it would just be like, he'd be like, you could be feeding me a tire right now.
Yeah.
You could only eat
what you're craving.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, I still, like, I'll have Thai food, soul food, breakfast food, Red Robin. And like pizza or sushi or something.
But I love
like
that Red Robin's in that list.
It has to be.
I mean,
come on, man.
Steak fries for life.
Bottomless steak fries.
Bottomless steak fries.
You better than bottomless steak. Are you above that, Brett?
Are you above that?
Hell no.
Yeah, okay. That's why I thought everyone's on board with Red Robin, right? So, I mean, so I only eat those same things. So, like, sometimes, like I'll go on a date and girl will be like, what do you want to have? I'm like, I have the same thing I always fucking have.
Yeah,
salmon and potatoes or chicken. I don't eat red meat, so it's just like, you know. Mm-hmm. But when they gave me the prognosis, it was like, are you? I'd ask myself, like, are you willing to do whatever it takes to survive? So if they're like, are you willing to do everything, anything? So I like cut the sauce off. I mean, I wasn't drinking heavily before, but I cut the sauce. I was juicing. I was stretching. I was walking every day. I was doing everything. And gradually, I started gaining my weight back. Gradually.
Do you have a trainer or somebody in your life that's kind of helping you moderate all this and stay on top of it? Or do you just have to kind of look from within and go, I have to be so regimented about, like, what I'm putting in my body and what I'm doing every day? Like, I mean, how you're waking up, what you're... I mean, you wake up and then, like, how did your day-to-day change?
I mean, first, I can't sleep in. I came and fucked up my sleep patterns. So it's like, I can't sleep in. I wake up 7, 8. I wake up like I got a job to do. Like, I wake up that early.
You're like, this is why I got into comedy, so I could not do this.
Yeah, I'm like, 7, 8, time to start writing. Watch these. Get these desk pieces for Gordon. Gotta fucking have this packing tight. Gotta have this shit tight. So it's like a lot of shit. So, like, I don't sleep in. I have to remember to eat. Because once I get going, like, I don't have a car. So once I get going, like, it's like, oh, I got to fucking gotta do everything, you know? So it's weird. It's really weird. But, I mean, like, these are great problems to have.
Yeah.
I remember being in the hospital, seeing people, like, in wheelchairs with, like, their leg, like, swollen and shit and scabby. And, like, they're chain smoking. I'm like, I don't think that's helping your case. I'm not a doctor, but you're chain smoking. I don't think. But I could see that they were checked out. They were just like, yo, I'm ready to fucking, whenever it's my time to go. I was like, me? I was like, I got some shit. And that's when, like, when I got out the hospital, they were like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I'm not going to have no kids. You know, like, let's say I prolong this, like, 3 to 5 years, right? Let's say I live past a year, it goes 3 to 5 years. Okay. And I'm not going to have no kids, right? All right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to get married, no kids. Well, what can I really do? Well, I'm a comedian. I've been doing this 7 years. I think I could do, I got over an hour and a half material. I could do a special. My friend Nicole was like, let's do a special. I was like, yeah, I'll do a special. And that's when I was like, she's like, we're going to do it. I thought it was just her talking because everyone says what you want to hear when you're sick. Like,
sure.
I'm like, yeah, we'll help you. I was like, yeah, okay. Anyways.
You're finding that? But I mean, I feel like a lot of people are.
People are genuine, but people don't know. Like, for me, I'm positive, but I still get hella depressed because I know, like, people are still doing regular shit. People have normal lives. Yeah, I can't be like, who wants to go on a Trader Joe's run with me? You know, so it's weird.
Nicole was like,
let's do a special.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. And we were going to shoot at the West Side Comedy Theater. And it was going to be great. That's why we set the $5,000 limit because we didn't have to pay a venue, you know? And then.
That venue?
That's just where she has a rapport with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have good sets there.
Yeah.
It's a great venue.
It's dope. Owen Smith's done one there.
Yeah. Kira Sultanovich has done one there. And so I was like, all right, let's do it there. And then, like, everyone, the huge display of love. Maybe have to look for a bigger venue because they're only going to give me one show.
That's awesome.
So I was like, right. So we started looking at venues. I remember we went to the Fonda Theater. I was like, there's no fucking way I can fill this shit. There's no fucking way I can fill the Fonda.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. So we looked at the Lyric Theater on La Brea.
Yeah. Yep. Which is a dope spot.
Mm-hmm. And I was like,
Not big enough.
I need 250 to 3. That's what I need. And then, like, I found the Terragram Ballroom. I was like, this is it. I'll pay whatever the fuck it takes to get this spot.
And you mentioned Burr and Apatow stepped in early on. So did they have a hand in just pushing this project along?
They helped me out with finances.
Yeah.
Not with the special. They didn't do any of that. But they helped me out with, you know, fundraising to go see a specialist in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They helped me out. They used their contacts and stuff like that. So it was all love from them from jump.
Had you met Bill or Judd before that?
Yeah, I met them both before. They've always been pretty cool. And,
yeah.
You know, Judd, you know, I gave him an idea for if he ever did a special. I gave him a title for it, and he liked it. And then...
That's pretty...
I mean, he was using it. You know, like, yeah,
he took it in.
Yeah, sure. You know, he was a really chill dude.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird to see a dude, the fucking man of Hollywood, be that chill.
Yeah, and a guy who, when you see him, it's always kind of weird when I see Judd, because... I was thinking to myself, you are one of those rare people in Hollywood where you could literally reach out to any comedian, actor, and just go, you know what? That person's going to be a star now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that person in some movies.
He's that big. And it's like, yet he still has the comedian tendencies.
Yeah, and he would still get nervous after sets. He would still talk to comics and be like, hey, what works here? What doesn't work here? And I'm always amazed by that because he doesn't have to do that.
He could just go on
stage and fuck around and go home to his mansion.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He's still that dedicated. So it doesn't surprise me that he then and the stories I've heard from Schumer in terms of how great he's been, and like, it doesn't surprise you that he took you on and was that great to you.
I mean, longevity.
That's just kind of like the way he works.
Longevity. You've been doing how long? You've been doing comedy?
13 years.
You don't get longevity by being a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real free game. If anybody really wants to talk shit, like, you're not gonna get far by being a dick.
Yeah.
Stanhope could rant all he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a dick.
No, he's not. He bought me pancakes at LAX.
You know what I'm saying? So
that was one of the greatest. I walked in, he saw me, and he's like, "Yeah, you're a comic." And I go, "Yeah, yeah, I'm a comic. I'm a big fan." He goes, "Sit down. Let's have some pancakes." It's like,
yeah,
fucking egg.
Yeah,
that's it.
Are you gonna have openers on this thing?
Yeah, I got three openers for each show.
Awesome.
Each of them doing five.
It's awesome. And you got and I mean, you've been 7 years, so you've been accumulating this material for. But mm-hmm. I gotta, you know, assume that in the last year, there's just.
I don't know if I'll do any cancer material.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's still,
but not even cancer material, but just, I mean, just because of that having an impact on your life. Like, I'm sure there's been stuff that's, I mean, whether you're talking about your own personal experiences, but like with the hospital or whatever, or just the way you're dealing with people now, there's got to be just new observations you're picking up on.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's tons, but still, like, I'm more of an observational, like taking heavy subjects and making them light.
Yeah,
I've never really been like. I'm not one of those. I'm not railing against the system. I'm not here to wait. I'm not here to wake up the masses. Mm-hmm. I'm here to make them laugh.
It's always been your.
I like it.
That's always been my thing. So it's like, I don't. You know, I respect every comedian who does something I don't do. You know, if you do this, you do that. That's great. I know what my lane is. My lane is this. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know. Like, all these people are coming out, and we all know. We all already know that I'm sick. So I don't need to address the elephant in the room. I just need to be funny.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
The special sold. It's sold. Already. It's sold. So I don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
I know it's going to get distributed.
Yep.
I know it's going to get, you know, promoted and marketed.
Do you know for who?
I can't say.
Oh, okay.
I can't say it till tomorrow.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, this isn't going to come out for...
Till Monday.
So... Technically,
I can't say till.
All right, well, maybe you text me and we'll put it in the intro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Does it rhyme with Mo Time or Fetblix?
It's along those lines.
It might be Fetblix. They're actually making a run down.
Yeah. It's alter ego. It's the stepbrother. The jaded cousin that didn't make it. He didn't get brought on. They sold his shares. He's like, I'm going to make something just as marketable.
Yeah.
Fetblix.
Basically, Fetblix is the bottom shelf cereal.
Yeah.
It's not Count Chocula.
Right.
But
it's the bag cereal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's not even images. It just says cereal.
Yeah, right? It's just like chocolate rice balls. You mean Rice Krispies Treats?
No.
Same. No. Chocolate rice balls.
Rice balls.
Yummy, Cocoa Puffs,
yummy
right? Yeah, exactly.
Fruity Yaz. That was always my favorite.
Yes.
So that's what Fetflix, whatever that was. Yeah.
Is there, but like, I'm curious, like, the way you viewed, like, we were talking about just a little, like, you know, dating relationships, like, has your mindset like changed on how you just view like a typical fight with a girl pre and post?
I mean, I used to have all the energy in the world to prove my point to a woman, and now it's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, the thing about cancer is,
I'm curious the perspective, you know, like the overall perspective.
Like, for me, it's like, I can afford to be selfish now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I never really was a selfish person before, but now it's like, I don't have any patience for bullshit. And like,
no.
I won't, like, and I don't dismiss what my partners are saying, but I'm like, if it's petty, I'm like, you knew what the fuck you were signing up for. When I did 1,000 sets, what did you think my work ethic was going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you think? You think I was going to come home, dice vegetables on Tuesday? Is that what you thought? That's what you thought. You thought we were going to make goulash? What the fuck did you think was going to happen when you signed up?
Sign up for a pottery class? No, that's not going to happen.
You know, like, and it's like, and you do stuff that you want to do. Like, I had like a real Rick James mentality when I first got cancer. I was just like, I don't want to do it. I'm good.
Oh, shit.
Like, I'm like, can I get up early? No, I'm like, all right, cool. All right, well, I'm going to see you later. And like, what? You know, I can get you up. I don't got the energy for it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I have it in check, but this is also when I first got out the hospital.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's been like a journey. I got out the hospital September. You know, when I got out the hospital, that's when the real healing started. You know what I'm saying? Because I was doing worse in the hospital than I was doing out.
Jesus.
Like, I was losing weight. Like, I would you like this, man. When I got out of the hospital, I had sublet my apartment for the summer.
Yeah.
Because I was going on a tour.
Yeah.
And when I got out, you know, I gave him, you know, June, July, August. I got out. He left me in bed bugs. So now you got this emaciated, cancer-ridden man now fucking dealing with fucking bed bugs.
Sounds like the saddest commercial ever.
Duh, I was like, oh, I wept. Yeah. I wept openly. I was just like it was, no, because I was like, oh, the fuck? I was like, God, what the fuck am I going to do? I got to buy a new bed? And now I'm like, I got some change in the bank. I'm not going to fucking do Craigslist. So I had to go shopping for beds. And then I had to tell them, I was like, do you deliver for free? Like whatever. I need everything. And I got, then I got rid of the frame. It was just a whole ordeal. And then, like, me and my girl at the time, we were breaking up, you know what I'm saying, going through that shit. So there was a point where, like, I was just completely broken. And I was like, all right, that's when I started rebuilding myself. That's where comedy was therapeutic, man.
Absolutely.
Getting on them stages, man.
I was just going to ask, at what point did that become, like, such a focal point of, like, oh, wow, this is a more beneficial release and therapeutic, like, assistance than I really anticipated?
Oh, man, it's always been therapeutic for me. Like, my first breakup is what got me into comedy. It was...
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah. She dumped me on Thanksgiving.
What?
And,
what? Where? What was it like? Was it like, hey, were you all at dinner and your mom said, hey, pass the stuff into your girlfriend. She's like,
girlfriend?
About that.
Glad someone brought that up. We're done. Hella dramatic, cute, like, scene. Pan left to right. Quincy's face. Shock. Sadness. Tears welling.
The lights and the shoes go out. She pieces.
Yeah, man. She took my L.A. gifts. She took my bear.
Took
she left.
Batteries out.
No, man, she broke up with me on Thanksgiving, and we were spent Thanksgiving Eve together, been with her family, and I left to go spend Thanksgiving with my family, and I didn't hear from her all day, and then, like, I called her, like, Thanksgiving night, and I talked on the phone. I was like, what's up? You're crying? Like, what's going on? She's like, I have feelings for my ex, and I was like, you should get rid of that. You should stop.
Well, I got an idea.
I got an easy solution.
Stop feeling those feelings.
Stop feeling those feelings.
She's like, you know, I was like, wait, and then my brain, my philosophical brain was like, how long have you been talking to this guy?
Yeah, for sure.
Feelings to be reignited. What the fuck have you been? I was like, oh, my God. And I just went in a binge. Went in a bender for like a month straight.
Drinking.
Just drinking, smoking, everything. Fucking everything I could.
Trying to stop feeling your feelings.
Yeah, but I was getting on stage every night. I was getting on every fucking stage. I did a Comedy Underground.
And doing so giggles. Raw, I'm sure, every time.
Just
right?
Everything. Just doing every fucking show. This is before Jai Tai. This is everything. I was getting up every, for that month straight. I remember Christmas Day, I woke up at my friend Gene's house in the South End, by Seward Park. I went to drive home, and I hit like a bump on I-5, and I was like, and I pulled over and like threw up, and was just like, "All right, yep, this is it. We got to figure out a better way to solve this problem."
Oh, shit.
And I was like, "All right," like sobered up. I was like, "All right," and then like drove home to my mom's house, and was just like, "All right, yeah."
Do you confide in her about what's going on?
She knew. Yeah, she knew. I mean, my mom's like, as corny as it may sound, cliche, like, that's like my best friend. I talked to her because my mom had cancer as well.
No shit.
She had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she, you know, she survived.
Yeah,
So for me, it's like, I can, whenever I get in a chemo rage, I'm like, you don't.
Wow.
You do. You do know what I'm going through. You did.
You do.
Okay.
You understand. You know what? That's so helpful. It's so funny you say that, because, like, when my dad was going through chemo, he found, like, obviously your family loves you, but he found the most comfort in talking with people that were also going through it at that time or had gone through it, because only they could truly understand. And then we as a family had to realize, like, okay, he's not saying he doesn't like us when he talks with the cancer people instead of us. That helps him more. So, good.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
Chemo fucks up your emotions like a motherfucker. Oh. I cry at everything.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sensitive as fuck.
You are going in.
Oh, like, I mean, just like, you think you're cool, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, and then when you see cancer, like, a reminder everywhere, like, I was watching Creed, and then the cancer, I was like, oh, it's dusty as fuck in this theater right now. Fucking allergies are going haywire. What the fuck? You guys don't clean it. Don't clean this theater.
Yeah.
I feel you, Rock. I feel you, bro. You gotta fight.
You gotta fight it, Rock.
Dog, when
he fights.
Oh, man. Nigga, tears. Real tears. Like, tears. And I was like, man, I remember watching Dallas Buyers Club, and that's AIDS. And I was just like, motherfucker.
Fuck.
Yeah.
He deserved that role. He deserved that.
Yeah. You were this emotional pre...
I was emotional, but it was more so anger. Like, I would go, like, 0 to, like, 100 real quick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, it was like, oh, man. Like, even in Deadpool, like, when he got cancer, I was like, oh, my fucking God. It's like a reminder. Every fucking... He got cancer. I was like, I better be a superhero. I better come out of this a fucking superhero.
Yeah. Right? Give me some damn powers. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I did. I remember I went to Greg Barrett's show. Greg Barrett had a show at the Largo, mm-hmm. and it was like it's like Comedy Rocks or something like that.
Yeah,
and it's like a bunch of like they all do music. They tell jokes, stories, or whatever, and then they play songs. And like Greg Barrett, he had cancer, and then
I didn't even know that.
This other this other guy uses I think the group Men at Work or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He had cancer, and I remember I leaned over to my date and was like. These guys are flaunting their remission in my face right now. I didn't know this was going to be like a parade of people who've had fucking cancer and are killing it in life right now, you know? And I remember, and it was like, when he was talking to me, and like, we talked, and I was like, yeah, you're going to be fine. You're going to be, and you hear it, you know, but when you start believing, you're like, I am going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I am going to be fine. I may not live to be 103, but I'm going to live longer than a year. And that was the game plan. That was the whole plan. Like, this fucking smug-ass doctor is not going to tell me when I'm going to die. Nobody knows when I'm going to die, so I'm going to fucking kick it.
I respect so much the fact that you got sort of, like, after you went through the whole hospital ordeal, that you kind of got to work. Because, like, that's something that people, we all kind of think about. Like, what would you do if you found out? Like, if, you know, would you, like, and for me, it's like, I would go full Lamar Odom. I would just go...
Just benders?
Just go to the fucking whorehouse.
Go to Saddle Ranch.
Just say, this is my Every room ranch, yeah. for the next 3 months. Jesus. Bring me my bitches. Like that, like, do you ever have those thoughts of, you know what? I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna...
I feel like if I'd lived like that, then I probably would die quicker. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, not with the drugs or the bender, but just like, even that mentality of like, oh, you're
disrespecting
man.
Life a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you know, just like the mentality of like, oh, you're going to go, so you might as well live reckless. It's like, no, how about I live cautious and try and stretch this motherfucker out? So it was always like, so when they were like, you got to juice, I was like, fuck it, I'll juice. I don't like green juice. I'll juice.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever the fuck it takes. They're like, you got to cut this out. No sugars. I was like, all right, cool. They said cancer cells multiply out sugar and greasy fatty foods. Cut that shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it was like whatever it took for me to get better, that's what I was willing to do. A lot of times people don't want to get better. They don't want to do stuff at the risk of being uncomfortable. You know? Mm.
Well, I can only imagine that when you're going through the treatment that a lot of people go through for cancer, and we talked about how bad chemo is, the last thing you want to do then on top of that is to drink the green juice that tastes like shit.
You don't.
Like, you just want the milkshake and say, fuck it.
But how much do you miss that stuff? Like, when you make all these cuts, do you just kind of get conditioned to it? Or, like, where does your newfound happiness come from? Because maybe you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I didn't need that, like, burger to make me happy. Like, it's...
I mean, here's the thing, man. Like, I was really healthy before the cancer. Like, I rode my bike everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't eat red meat. Just chicken, turkey, fish. I eat is salmon.
Oh, shit.
I don't eat that much. So just chicken, turkey, you know?
What about, like, fruit by the foot? You ever slam one of those?
No. I mean, who doesn't like... I'm not a communist. Of course I fucking like fruit by the foot.
That was my next question.
Yeah, you know, like, are you communist? Well, only on certain issues, I believe the community is the best. No. No, but it's like, I mean, you want that stuff. Like, I used to love the golden Oreos.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And then they had the fucking lemon golden Oreos. You're like, oh, God, temptation.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, I'm good. You exercise a little restraint.
Yeah.
And a little restraint, it's just a little bit of time. So, you know, for me, I don't eat fast food, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not really my thing. You know, so I'm like, okay, cut fast food out, so that automatically deletes that. I don't really cook with a lot of grease, you know? And I'm not saying, like, I flipped this whole, like, nature shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it was just me making the decision to be like, let's kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get our weight back. Let's adjust. Let's learn. What we like, what we don't like, let's figure this out, and then we kick it up a notch.
Healthy body, healthy mind, right?
I mean, I feel it's healthy mind, healthy body. You know, I've always felt like the mental strength is what it takes. That's what most of life is mental, like dealing with it. Because if life threw us all our problems underhand, one at a time, we'd all be knocking out the park. Okay, you don't get booked here. All right, cool. Well, I'll just get another date to fill in that weekend, so I'll be in the same region for the whole time. It'll be smooth, easy. I can frequent flyer miles. I'm good. But what happens is, like, you don't get that booking. they cancel that date. Then you're arguing with your chick. Then this. Then your roommate moves out. Then this. You're just like, okay, now I'm stressed. Now I need to figure out how to fucking make all this shit work.
Right.
And you do it the same way. You take it one step at a time. And that's all it is. Cancer, dealing with this cancer is nothing more for me than like taking it one step at a time, doing the necessary steps to progress. And for me, it was like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So I go through the chemo. You know what I'm saying? And to the point where I can tell them now, like when I got on Ellen, I remember when it aired this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I was getting chemo while it was airing. Jeez. And I was like, you guys need to turn TV at 4 o'clock. And they're like, why? I'm like, because I'm going to be on Ellen. They're like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay.
If I'm not, jello for everybody.
So they're like putting the tourniquet on, and if I can get the blood ready, to doing the blood draws and everything. And they're like, oh, my God, you're on TV. I was like,
that's what I said.
I told you. Now I don't have to get chemo, right? They're like, you're not that famous. You know what I mean? Like, you're not Magic Johnson. You didn't heal yourself.
We don't give, we don't give you that down. Medicine yet.
Right, yeah. Well, come on, guy. You think you're in? You think you're in Illuminati now? You think you just got a pass? Yeah. Take this fucking chemo. I was like, all
right,
man.
Yeah, right.
I remember, so I got the chemo, and like it was a beautiful feeling. It was bittersweet, though.
I mean, we talk about humbling.
All this shit is bittersweet to me because it's a constant reminder that, like, now I worked hard to get to this, to be prepared for
hell
this.
Yeah,
time.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I was prepared for all this shit to come.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's still a reminder, like, oh, you're getting this shit because you're loved, but you're also sick. So it's a reminder you're sick.
You're talking about the special and these appearances.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I mean, who knows if I would have win or if I would have gotten on Ellen. But I got on Ellen. I knocked it out the park. Cool. Yeah. So we're good there.
But you know what, though? When you start thinking of those hypotheticals, because I've had people come up to me, comics, where people say, ah, you're only funny because you're a dwarf. It's like, no, I'm funny and I'm a little person.
Yeah.
You're not getting a special.
Because I'm not funny.
Yep.
Yes. You're, right. Like, because trust me.
They wouldn't do that.
If some Make-A-Wish kid is like, I want to do a one-hour special on Comedy Central, and he wasn't good at stand-up, they'd be like, all right, I know you're dying, but no.
Yeah, because
we're not giving that
you
to you.
You could touch Nicki Minaj's butt. You're not going to get a Comedy Central presents.
With Danny Glover's hand.
Yeah. You don't feel anything. This is the worst consolation prize ever.
That sucks. But yet, like, all this wouldn't be happening to you unless you were prepared for it.
And that's the beautiful feeling. That's an amazing feeling.
How long did it take you to come to terms with that?
What?
I mean, because I'm sure there was a little bit of just battle in your head of, like, feeling, right? Like, just feeling a little bit like, oh, am I just getting...
I mean, you think that, but then you have to, like, again, like, you can't harbor on it. I don't really, like, it's like you could let the self-doubt come, and it's like, dog, you earned this fucking shit.
Yeah.
You earned it. They booked you because you're ready. You're ready for everything that's happening now.
You know how hard you work. You know how many mics you would hit up in a night.
Yeah. So it's like.
You know what you sacrificed.
Exactly. So it's like, for me, it's like, nah, I'm not going to let anybody. Because that's what happens with success. People, like, they want to try and, like, whittle it away from you. And it's like.
And by the way. Who is the fucked up person that's like, he's only getting a special because he got cancer?
Yeah.
You want to trade places, motherfucker?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, the cost is heavy.
Yeah.
The cost is heavy. You could afford that. You got that money.
I mean,
you want a comedy? You could take my take my fucking credits.
Yeah, I'll go back to open mics and never be a feature headliner again. If you want to take this cancer, holy shit.
Man, it's beautiful though. Like life is good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really good. Like, I even with cancer, even when I was in the hospital, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm like a care bearer or some shit. Like, I get in the dumps. Sure. But every time I get in the dumps, I have to realize somebody would love my problems. There's someone who's not recuperating good from the chemo who'd love to have this shit.
Right.
So then you have to remember, okay, well, I got to do it for them. You have to think outside yourself. You have to start living outside yourself. Because otherwise, if you start narrowing, you're like, okay, I'm just going to do me, do what I want to do. It's like, no, I got to think. You know, my mom fought cancer, right? Mm-hmm. Lost my grandma to cancer. A couple of my aunts have had cancer. So I got to, you know, I got to fight for them. I got a niece and nephew. I got to fight for them.
Yeah.
What do? I do comedy. You know what I'm saying? So this is what the comedy helps me fight. So I got to take care of me, right? I got a girl. She's holding it down. I got to get some bucks. I got to get these drink tickets so I can give to her, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like you have to realize it's bigger than you.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you want to feel down in the dumps. You want to have a pity party.
Sure.
And you're right. You should.
You're allowed to,
but then you have to get yourself up. It's like going on a bender. It's natural. You know what I'm saying? That's a circular life. So it's like, okay, I'm feeling down. All right. I didn't get this. All right. A lot of bad shit happened. Okay. We have a little pity party. Let's go have our favorite meal. All right. We'll start off with that. Go have a few drinks. Call up your buddies. Right. Okay. Boom. Now we're getting the headspace. Now once you get in that headspace, okay, cool. Had a good, you know, your belly's full with your favorite food.
Yeah.
You know, you hung out with the fellas you don't normally get to hang out with. All right, cool. Now I'm feeling good. Once you start feeling good, good shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to mentally be locked in. You have to embrace what's going on, but not hold on for it too long.
It's so funny you say that, because it's advice I've given to other people and myself, to where if I start feeling down or my other friend's feeling down, I say, hey, go to the things that always make you feel better.
Yeah.
Start there. You're not going to solve all your problems by taking a magic pill. You're not going to suddenly everything's going to go away. Eat your favorite meal.
Right.
That always makes you happy. Great. Eat that. It'll make you happy.
Yeah.
Watch your favorite TV show. That makes you happy? Great. That's a little building block towards that point that you can finally get rid of all this shit or cope with it, is you just slowly, small victories. Talk to the girl or talk to the guy that you always talk to.
Yeah.
When it just slow things make you happy.
That's what I mean, that's honestly what I feel like. I feel like so many people, they rationalize themselves out of happiness.
Yeah.
They justify them being unhappy. I'm like, really, dog? Because I got cancer, right? You got a car?
Yeah.
You got a car. You could afford a Stella Artois at this bar? And you going to talk to me about Trump? That's what I'm supposed to sit here and feel, impressed with? I'm sorry. I'm supposed to feel sorry that you went through a little breakup? I had a girl leave me during chemo. What'd you guys say about that? None? Yeah. Okay, cool.
I was going to say, how often do you get irked by it? If you see, a couple fighting over, the color of towels in Target, are you just like, everybody's got their problems, but are you also like, man, do you even know that that's, what you, that is your problem right now, and you're so lucky to have that?
You're choosing to be unhappy right now.
Right, but again, that'd be that's big to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thing. So for everyone trying to do their thing, no one knows what the fuck's going on in life. We could write all the self-help books that fucking Malcolm Gladwell could personally put a stamp on. Doesn't mean it's going to work. We all are trying to get to a certain place of happiness or success or financial stability, and we all can't take the same journey. That's why I don't really read those books. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All we could do is try. And every day, everyone's trying to do a little better. You know? Some people are like, fuck it, I'm done. I can't knock them. That's what they feel they got to do.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at people arguing, I'm like, that's so crazy. That is so great. They really think this is what matters. You have to act like you're Buddha. You're like, oh, silly children. Silly, silly humans. When will they realize that life is so much more meaningful than what the fuck they're arguing about?
Yeah.
How do you think you get to that point? Do you need something cancer to give you that outlook to go, oh, okay, well, I'm stressing over stuff that just is not significant.
Well, have you ever had you ever broken a laptop or your iPhone screen cracked?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you get hella emotional about it.
So upset.
And you just think why the fuck did I have greasy fucking fingers? You have to be you know what? I put way too much emotional bearing on this one object.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple bucks. I can get a new phone. I got an upgrade coming, right? Apple drops a new phone every fucking year, right?
So yeah.
Okay. We just ride it out. Get a little crack screen.
Right.
Ride it out. Fucking Christmas. Get the new phone. Boom.
Yeah, live with that crack screen. Yeah. Let it be a constant reminder of maybe your life's a little cracked.
You stay humble. Stay true.
Yeah. 10 years ago, you didn't have that phone at all.
Right.
So
you have to. But that's the thing. You have to mute. Everyone has to make their life figure out. For me, my biggest philosophy is everybody's at work and nobody loves their job. So why am I here to make anybody's job more difficult? From the Uber driver to my server to the bartender, and they want to act like they got their shit in the ball. Cool, but we all know that no one's happy. Mm-hmm. No one's happy doing this shit. They'd rather be doing other shit, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone would rather be doing other shit than their job. You telling me when you're fucking 12:45 one before Barris takes the stage, you're like, man, I really could have just stayed at home tonight.
Yeah.
You know, but. Someone would love those problems.
That's exactly the outlook.
Someone would love
to
have that.
I go, wow, man, do you remember how hard you wanted to be a paid regular and how long you grinded and the amount of phone shifts and just shitty gig to even get there? And now you're going to complain about the time. I was like, and you have to look inside yourself and go, at what point do you just go, do you focus on, oh, cool, I got here from there. And now let me work this and then take this to the next step instead of going, oh, but it's not that. you know?
My mentality has always been to be different, you know? And it's always, I've always viewed things differently, you know? I've always, like my degree is in philosophy, so I always am taught to, like, look at things from different angles. Mm-hmm. So I look at these situations, and I'm like, okay, I firmly believe that I'm even looking better and living more right, not just off diet, but because I'm mentally locked in and I keep positivity flowing through me. You know what I'm saying? I have to be positive. I argue with my girl. We argue. I'm like, you know what? This ain't even all that. It's not even worth all this. I'm putting way too much energy into you. You're taking away from my positivity, you know, bank. I can't deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you just got to cut people off. You have to look out for you because ain't nobody else going to look out for you.
If someone's too much negative in your life, you're like, well, every time I talk to you, I'm never in a better mood afterward. So something should change.
Someone's always complaining. Yeah. Yo, fucking big time Ray. Yeah. Big time Adam Ray. Oh, yo, you're going to grace us with your presence, Ray? You going to do this? You're like, dude, like what? Like, yeah. First of all, like I'm at your house.
You invited me over, man.
Yeah, like why are you what? Yeah. I'm not even big. Like I pay for part. Just like what the fuck?
What are you deflecting this onto me for?
Yeah, what are you projecting your neck? Like why are you so angry? And that's what the majority of my life. Like I've had to ask women. I've had to ask people. Like why are you so angry? Mm-hmm. What do you have going on that is so emotional for you?
Rather than you get upset and have those things affect you, you then ask the question, okay, rather than me put this on me and put myself in a bad mood, why are you doing this?
Yeah, like
that would be a great comeback for a heckler.
It's like why
some guy heckles something, okay, let's stop the show. Why are you mad at me, sir?
I don't even do that. That's how I handle the shit. Yeah. Sometimes I break them down, and then sometimes it gets real, and they're not expecting a follow up. So then you know, but I'm like, God, what a bummer that you felt so like
you saw a dwarf comic up on stage. You thought to yourself, well, I better take him down a peg.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, another so it's foot. Like, yeah.
chop him down to size. Tie that fucking big shot dwarf rocking around the stage. He's got pictures in the green room. I can't fucking believe this. I'm here with fucking high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't fell out of love years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring in all that.
Yeah. I came to this comedy show. They fucking two-item minimum. They're overpriced chicken strips. We all recognize that. There's not a good fucking Cosmopolitan. I don't know why she always orders a Cosmopolitan.
There's bottom of steak fries at Red Robin.
Why don't we come here? Why don't we pre-funk at Red Robin and then come to fucking Parlor? No. Tyra over here wants to fucking come to get early seating. And you're just flaunting your cash. You're strutting around the stage with your funny jokes. Well, now's the time. Now's the time I take my anger at Bill, my boss. I'm like, you know what? You're not that funny. Everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Jesus, I love dude.
He's got this whole scene in his head. And my biggest thing is like, that sounded funny in your head, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, played this scene out way different.
Yeah.
And now everyone's looking at you. Your deodorant's overworking right now. You're feeling the burn because it wasn't that funny. But luckily, I'm good at what I do. I can make you look good, too. But I'll let you get this done. Do you want to say anything else?
Yeah.
You want to be that dick that continues to interrupt? I ain't think so. All right, everyone back on the train, back in the choo-choo train. We're going to Chuckle Junction. Everyone get there. Everyone gets a pass. But this guy, you fucking get out of line again, and I'll ask you to leave.
Yeah.
And the party stops. You want to be the one to stop the party? You want to be the fat chick in the crew? That what you want to be? You're being the fat chick in the fucking room of hot chicks right now.
Yeah.
You're the one who's tired?
Not letting them get laid.
Exactly. Everyone could get laid. We could all get laid tonight if you play your fucking part.
That's so good.
Stay in your lane. I'm telling the jokes. You laugh at them. That's the contract we agreed to. It's the contract.
Can I be honest? I kind of want to come to the special and heckle you just to see you handle shit because that was fucking brilliant, dude. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to do a lot of crowd work to get good at crowd work and to get comfortable being able to handle any situation. Like, what was there one moment or a flurry of just instances that you were like, all right, like, I'm going to have to deal with this. I can't ignore it, which is, I think, what you do early on with crowd work because you're like, I don't feel equipped to handle that, so I got to try to pretend that's not there.
My first set, I riffed. It was at the Comedy Underground at the open mic. The guy went up before me with like a banjo or a fiddle, and he sang songs about sticking vegetables up his ass. And I went up there. I had my bit about four-way stops.
Please tell me he's an opener on one of the shows.
Man, he opened for
for the special.
Jeff Foxworthy. He opened for Jeff Foxworthy. No.
What?
No, but so, you know, he fucking did that. And I went up there, and like the whole room's just like, I was just like, so you guys expect me to tell jokes now? That's what you expect me to just make? I'm supposed to tell elevator stories? That's what I'm supposed to do? You guys expect me to do after that? Like,
after
we all,
here's how you put a squash all, up your
yeah,
tank?
Yeah, we all heard him sticking about cucumbers. A lot of vegetables, okay? First of all, not to, who knew that many vegetables could fit in a three-minute set? But who knew how many vegetables could fit up his ass? You guys expect me to just tell jokes? And then the whole room just like, ah. And so I've always been able to address whatever's going on in the room.
That's an incredible skill, dude.
And, but I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Nah, man. Nah, I've seen you do it. Like, I've seen you float on stage, man. Like, I've
what
seen
do you mean?
You at the fucking parlor. I see him. I remember first watching Adam Ray, man. I was like, oh, this guy, because he was in L.A. He started here. So I was like, oh, man. They're like, oh, he's from Seattle. I was like, I know Seattle. Right?
Oh, he's gonna claim my city. Yeah, I don't know. Start here.
He hasn't paid a fucking fee to me to stand up in my
fucking mob
seat.
Boss.
Let's see what this guy does.
Yeah.
And he laughed, and I remember you were doing the baby black ribs bit.
Yeah.
But they thought it was baby black kids. That shit, I remember, dog. Because the way he fucking tells stories, Adam goes into such detail, and you get so wrapped up in the story, and then the twist of the day, you're just like, oh, I didn't see that coming. See, if you were told, because if he had done the punch, like even a split second sooner, we all would have saw it coming.
Yeah.
But he holds it the timing, and he's like, bah. I'm like, that motherfucker right there. I remember being a fan. I remember the heckler, like some girl's like, ew. And you're like, what are you hearing about? Yeah, I said, baby black ribs, you know, baby black kid. Like, yeah. I didn't see. It was a joke. I didn't actually eat baby black kid. And he started riffing. And I was like, God damn, this guy's good. I remember, like, my favorite comic, Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rory. Like, watch Rory. I'm like, I remember I had a set at the Tacoma Comedy Club. It was like a competition or something like that, back when I was still naive, you know? And I did that, and I riffed. I went for like 20 minutes, just all riffing. Just boom, 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 girl laughing. Oh, you laugh funny. Oh,
just taking everything and just throwing it back.
And then someone afterwards, I killed and I advanced to the competition, and then dude came up to me. I'll never forget. He's like, you know you're going to have to write jokes eventually. And I was just like, I was never been berated. I was like, oh, my God. And so I just wrote feverish. I wrote every bit. I just started writing. So I had more jokes than riffs, and I always had riff, and I could always go back on.
Yeah.
But then now to the point where, like, I know what I do. So, like, now the special is not going to be – it's not going to be a traditional special. We're not going to get a Chris Rock special.
Good.
You're not going to get, like – I'm not going to get a Gabriel Iglesias special. You're not going to get that. It's going to be me doing an hour. But we're going to have fun. Two shows, we're going to have a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
And that's a game plan.
You're going to give yourself any – like, you have a map of the set you kind of want to do, but are you giving yourself a lot of room to
–
yo, I'm going to, you know, insert this kind of topic here, but, like, I'm going to kind of –
It's going to be hell for the editors. That's what I can tell you. It's going to be hell.
Hey, that ain't your job.
You know, so. But it's like, I got the notebook. I'm just writing now. Yeah. Right. And it's like, for me, the biggest thing, I'll tell you, the only fear I got is making that first joke land.
Sure. No kidding.
That's the
you're sweating that.
Well, because you know what? I got Conan coming up.
Yeah.
I'm burning through material.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm burning through material. Like, I had an hour and a half. I had an hour 40 of jokes alone.
Yeah.
Jokes alone. And now I'm like, so the hour, that's 40. The Conan, that's 7.
Mm-hmm. All right, and hey, dude, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be other opportunities that are going to be popping up.
And now I'm hot enough that my materials change. Like, now it's like, I can't do no more jokes about not having a car. I got money to buy a car. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now it's like, and these are great problems to have.
Yeah, wonderful problems to have.
But it's like, I'm still like, nah. Like, I even said, like, the only thing I do with my money now is, like, I buy, you know, a splurge and an Uber X. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just ride by myself.
You know what? That's a big upgrade. Let's not lie about that.
We going in a Lexus today.
You know what I'm saying? I might do that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I might just get, because I usually pool. But pool will be like, all right, you're all the way fucking in Canyon Country, and then we'll drive back down to downtown, and then we'll drop you off in Hollywood.
It's like, too much.
Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just pay the extra bucks.
There it is.
To fucking get where I need to go to by myself.
The gum tastes better than an Escalade anyway.
But I'm not Uber Black. I said I'm Uber X. That just means I'm riding by myself. I'm still Corolla, baby. I keep it humble.
Yeah.
No money's changed me. Money hasn't changed me a little bit.
How much does your mom influence you in this whole journey? Like, you said, she's your best friend. You talk to her. How much in a daily conversation is about what you're going through?
I mean, not much. I mean, my mom, her biggest sign off is pace yourself. Is there everything? Well, pace yourself. You're going really hard right now. Pace yourself. I'm like, you don't get it, Mom. I'm hot. I got to take everything I can get while I'm getting it, because this hot doesn't last forever. You know what I'm saying? And so you got, I'm already thinking of the next project. So I'm talking to my manager, like, I'm like, yo, I want to be busy. I don't want to stop working. Give me dates. Give me whatever the fuck we got to do. No the kidding. Special drops. I'm doing Bridgetown. That's, you know, I was going to go to Belize. I was going to go to Belize for like 12 days for my birthday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, and then like my goal, like I said, August 6th, I wanted to drop the special on August 6th and be like, yeah, take that. Mm-hmm. Take that, Doc. Oh, shit, a year ago, dude. I was in the fucking hospital withering away.
Right.
You're telling me I'm going to die. And a year later, I got a special coming out on TV.
And you're going to watch that.
And you will. They're going to.
I got a special coming out on FledFlix.
Yeah.
And you fucking said it couldn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's great. But it's also, it's like, I know, like, for me, I don't know about you guys. I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. I believe in God. So, like, for me, I know this is God's plan for me. I know it's by God's grace that I'm able to do any of this. Because there's a ton of people who have cancer, and they all don't fucking get these breaks.
Sure.
I think the only reason why I'm fortunate to have this is because I am positive, and I do try and spread love. And my philosophy is different. Anybody could have gotten this and been like, man, fuck it.
You know,
like, I might as well just smoke more weed, play more Grand Theft Auto. Like, right. I was like, nah, I want to leave something behind. Because most of us live life before internet documentation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell
I went to Paris. I don't got shit on Instagram. Damn.
Yeah.
I had Rolly Cam, the fucking clicker. You know what I'm saying?
One shot at that photo.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, one shot.
No filters, straight shot.
Yeah,
right?
Straight shot.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And so, if you got red eye, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
you got red eye.
All this fucking technology these kids have.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, I want to put this out. And you know what? Everyone showed enough love where it was like, we're going to help you do this. And it's for me, it's like I feel like I represent hard work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I worked hard to get here. Like,
many degrees, my friend.
I didn't just get this dropped in my lap. You know, I didn't just get magically tapped to fall, you know, go on the road. Mm-hmm. I had to fucking grind.
Dude, since you've been out here, I've seen you everywhere. Like, you're just, you know, and I'm just like, God, man, like, that's, I always had the utmost respect for it, too, because I know a handful of people who've moved from Seattle, friends in comedy and acting, that just come down here, and there's a few that are down here right now that are, they think they're doing everything they need to be doing. And I've had conversations with a few where I'm like, you know, you're not, you know, like, and I don't think you have somebody telling you that. I think you know that, but you're not doing what is required to really give yourself over to it. And you did that from the moment you got down here, and that's why you are so prepped for everything that's coming your way.
I remember when the headliners came up there, Duncan Trussell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All I had was a few headliners info. And I remember when I got down here, like, I was so naive. I got down and was like, yo, Duncan, what mics you hitting? This is me forgetting that he's a national headliner.
Yeah.
I'm asking what open mics he's hitting. He's like, where are you staying? I'm like, Echo Park. He's like, come through. He never, like, gave an address or anything like that. So I had to, like, learn Hollywood answers very quickly. I remember hanging out at the Den. This has been a crazy journey to get to this point. And I love it. I love every minute of it. Doing 1,000 sets in 2013. I remember every year I set a goal. I didn't accomplish that goal, but the next year I did. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I remember I wanted to get into festivals 2013. I only got in the Seattle International Comedy Competition. I did well in that. But I was like, okay, you know, I don't know.
I want to read something that you have on your site. That's not QuincyJones.com.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how often you...
I don't update it often.
But. Yeah. But you, just in talking about goals, you post something January 14th, 2015. Do you mind if I read it?
Yeah.
So you wrote, hey guys, it's been a minute since I have posted. This is January 14th, 2015. And you were, what, you were diagnosed in July?
July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one will be short, but I can promise that I'm going to post once a week for the next 50 weeks. Last year, I felt burnt out towards the end, which is weird because I had a great year comedy-wise, and personally, I accomplished some goals I wanted to, but I felt truly tired. I felt like I was treading water, and I lost sight of the goal. This year, I'm recommitting towards two simple goals, consistency and follow-through. The new year always brings out mixed feelings for me. Of course, there's always the renewal of optimism that's catching for a few, then there's the other side for me. I'm always depressed because it reminds me of my cousin Jarrett Wade, who passed on January 14th, 2012, the same day I moved to LA. He passed on non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer, and it's always a weird time for me because he never got to see me perform. Now I'm here about 3 years today. I did my usual cry and try to be productive, but the memory of Jarrett is particularly heavy today. I feel now stronger than ever the urge to put out content.
Maybe it's for when I die, or maybe it's just to put something out, but I don't have much. Guess I'll add it to the list of goals. Now, of course, this isn't saying it's all I want to do, but it's something easy enough that I can keep mindful of on a daily basis. I'm not organized and never will be, so I'm probably not going to start changing this poor life habit of mine this year either, LOL. I hope 2015 is good for all of us. The world is getting crazier by the second, and it's moving so fast. My only hope is that we are all able to find something stable to hold on to during these windy, trying times. Well, folks, that's it for me today. Maybe I'll post something if the spirit moves me. But if not, I'll see you next week. Happy New Year's. Q. Do you remember writing that?
Someone hacked into my account. And I don't know who the fuck is writing such soliloquies of a... I remember writing that, man. I remember that. I remember it's the same thing every year, man. It is. It's bittersweet, man. It's a bittersweet, but it's really good. Like, I feel really good.
And here's the thing about... Yeah, we do this podcast, and we have a lot of fun. And we joke around, and it's, you know, you shoot the shit. But this is one of those podcasts where, sitting down with you, and this is genuine, I genuinely feel that anyone who listens to this podcast can make their life better based on the words that they've heard. Based on the things that you've said into that microphone in the last hour. If someone listens to that and applies it to their life, then their life will improve.
Yeah.
And yeah, that feels good to not only to just be a witness to that. To be a witness to you saying these things and to have these life thoughts and life philosophies. I feel good that I was able to be in this room.
I'm happy I was able to be here.
And
in this mansion. We've got overlooking Canyon Country right now. Dude.
And if you want to be there for... How do you like that transition? If you want to be there for Quincy's special Monday.
April 4th. It's a school night, so I understand if nobody...
Telegram Ballroom. www.terragramballroom.com. There is limited seating. This will sell out. There's two shows, 7 p.m. show, 10 p.m. show.
Yeah.
And I have to deal with this in my own special, so I will tell the people right now, get there early, you piece of shit.
Oh, no late seating. no late seating. My production team is like, they're really rigid. Like,
yeah.
They're adamant about starting on time.
Oh, duh.
Yes, it's your special. I was getting texts for my last special like, hey, man, I know you said start at 8, but, like, it's cool if we roll around 8:20. No. Doors are shut. We're filming this thing.
Yeah.
Ass. It can't be having me on stage and then having you walk across the aisles going, excuse me. Get here on time.
Yeah, man. Don't you hate when, like, your non-comedian friends ask you, well, when are you going up? You're like, motherfucker, it's a show.
Come to the show. What, do you not like comedy?
Yeah, like, oh, I got my allotment of laughs. I can't fucking go too far over.
It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's so fucking weird. It's like inviting people to comedy shows is like inviting them to church almost. You get the same reaction. You're like, hey, you want to come to a comedy show? No, thank you. I'm good. I got everything done. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't ask you to fucking go to church, man. I'm not like Jehovah's Witness. Get the fuck out of here.
Comedy show. You laugh. So,
guys, you can find me featuring for Brad. I'm trying to feature.
You want
to
go on the road?
Hell yeah, I want to go on the road, man. You think I want to be at home? I'm trying to be busy.
Is anybody trying to take you?
No one's trying to take. Well, nah, I don't think I can go on the road. I'm going to go to Ontario right now. I'm featuring for Bobby Lee tonight.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Bobby was the first person to take me on the road ever.
Me too, you know that.
I got nothing but love for that man.
He's the fucking best.
I tell you, but he took me, and I was like, all right, this is it. This is the tap. You feature for him for a little bit.
Come on.
Get the minutes up, get the reps, you know what I'm saying?
His shows are packed. Great crowds to work out in front of.
I'm like, okay. And then he never hit me again, dog. I was like, I was ready to quit my fucking barista job.
Wait, when was this?
This is like, I think 2013.
Yeah.
Okay, I wonder if I was still.
No, it's 2014.
I'm trying to think if I was still featuring for him. That might have.
Not 2013.
No, you know what, Bobby Lee, I want to definitely like shout him out. Bobby Lee, everyone, Bobby Lee is always showing a lot of love to comics.
Selfless.
Yeah. Selfless. Like, tons. This guy definitely looks out and he cares about other human beings. And he definitely was like, when I told him I had cancer, he was like, what? Whatever you need. You're like, I'm good. I mean, like, I'm not, like, I need stuff, but I'm not going to come to you, but I appreciate the offer.
I was going
to
say, when people say that to you, how much do you actually follow through and come at them and go, hey, do you mind?
I mean,
it's got to be a difficult.
Yeah, that is one hardest part. Is like, just, it's not even like humbling. It's just like me, like, okay, I have to.
They said I could ask.
Right. Yeah. And like,
if someone says whatever you need, you're like, I don't have a car.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm fucking, feel like chauffeuring around. This fucking money dwindles quick when you Uber X, man. I'll tell you that much.
So Bobby said whatever. And he
took me in a row. And like, he gave me this weekend. And I'm going to go have fun with him tonight. It's going to be great. Two shows tonight, one show tomorrow.
If you can do a bunch of gigs with him, you will see his dick more than you see your own.
Yeah, well,
and you will get to know the color, the texture.
That's why I'm trying to fuck with Brad. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh no, you know, I'm worse.
Oh,
you like Adam has seen my dick so many times. I made Adam get a tramp stamp tattoo of my dick.
Oh, wow, that's love.
Yes,
yeah, that's love.
Yeah,
you gotta pay your dues. gotta pay your dues somehow, right?
I do want to know though, real quick, before we wrap up. Like reading that that passage you wrote, like what sticks out to me is you say like I'm recommitting towards two simple goals: consistency and follow through.
And I didn't post for like another year or something.
All right, man, you had some shit to deal with.
Yeah,
but you talk about recommitting to consistency and follow through. Dude, I mean, like you couldn't be a stronger poster child. Like for everything you're talking about that you needed to commit to in this, like you have, and I feel like it's like so much contributing to why you are where you're at. Yeah,
I feel,
where would you be without consistency and follow through at this point?
I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of times people feel like there's like one set thing to do, like there's one thing to do to make it or something like that, and realistically it's a bunch of habits that have led up to you being prepared for that one action that defines you. So for me, consistent, I realize that some of the simplest things that we can't achieve and attain in life is consistency, balance, and perspective. You know what I'm saying? Those are hard things to attain and maintain. Mm-hmm. So for me, consistency isn't always like, you know, fucking, you know, meditating or doing your reps to the gym. Consistency is just getting up with the mentality to be like, I'm going to fucking rock today out. And you can come back home and you can be like, you know what? Today kicked my ass. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because you got to get up tomorrow and you do it. And that's consistency. Even the basic stuff like that. Eating. You know what I'm saying? Eating breakfast. You know, eating, you know, a meal, whatever. There's that consistency. There's perspective, which is like remembering that, like, everyone is looking at the same thing differently than you. So you can't really just sit up here and think that your perspective is the only way, you know? And that's also why I get in so many long arguments with my girls, is because, like, they'll be like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no. I'm like, well, that's not how this works in my fucking playbook. You're supposed to at least give me the credit of that. But so there's consistency there, and there's perspective, and then there's balance. We all want this unrealistic amount of balance in everything. And the fact of the matter is you're not going to have it all the time. You just got to fucking go with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just really have to, okay, you're not going to get as many shows as you want. You're not going to get every fucking booking that you ever go out for.
Yep.
But you're going to get more than you're going to get less. So that's the tide. It just seesaws back and forth. You get some, it ebbs and flows. And that's why right now it's a good time. I'm going with it. And there'll be not so good times. And I'll go with that. But it's not like I'm not chasing anything more than the other. I'm not trying to avoid one. It's natural. If that makes sense. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, of course.
It does.
I think, too, the, you know, consistency in it just kind of like bleeds into every aspect of life. Like that if you want to have, I don't know, stability and some sort of like, you know, I struggle with that a lot with certain things of like, you know, making sure that I, you know, like my aunt who's 88, who's, you know, she tells me to call her every week, and I try to, and like A for material, because she's always pitching me new creams and ointments and pills, like for like, you know when your ass is getting hot when you blink and it hurts to breathe when you drive. I'm like, surely you're 88. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but like certain things like that I'm just like, I try, like it you feel better on a whole with everything if you're making sure that you're being accountable, right?
Yeah, I mean, you also have to understand, you have to take time for yourself, but not be too selfish. That's another thing we're talking about, balance, right? Mm-hmm. You also have to step outside this fucking, your grind.
Yeah.
You got to step outside. You got to do some new shit. You got to try some new shit. Look in Groupon, motherfucker. Do some real shit. You got to do some shit.
What have you found? What have you said that with a lot of like.
Dude, I just ordered luggage off Groupon. My first.
Good for
I'm
you.
32. I just ordered luggage.
That's a big deal, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that to me was a statement. Like, I'm going to be here for a while. I'm grown. I see people.
Yeah.
A fucking little white family with matching Patagonia jackets and Tumi luggage. You're like, I fucking got to step it up. Yeah. The kid's got better luggage than me. Fuck, he's got a little backpack that matches. Nah, and, come on, tighten
up. And you know you're not going anywhere until you get luggage.
Exactly. So it's like,
now you got it.
But now I got it. I ordered it was $69.99, and I had like a $25 off coupon for first time using Groupon.
Nice.
And that was great. I was like, psh, because luggage came. Haven't used it. Haven't used it yet because I don't got the money to check in luggage. I still use the one. I can't afford to check in luggage, so I stay humble. But it's good to have. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. For me, it's always a reminder like, yo, life is good. Stop. Stop. Whatever you're bitching about, whatever you're complaining about, someone would love your problems. Your problems are great. They're all temporary. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There's no permanent problem. This cancer is not a permanent problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a situation I got to deal with constantly, but I don't get chemo every day. I get chemo every 3 weeks. So guess what? A week to recover, 2 weeks to kick it. Prepare for the other one. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you have to do. You have to break down life into manageable bite-sized pieces. You know what I'm saying? And that's for me is that I don't trip off bookings. I don't trip off it. It is funny how different I get booked now. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember emailing people in January like, yo, I'm trying to prep a special. Can you help me out with some minutes? And they're like, no, we're booked out till August. Can't possibly get you on. Fucking video went viral. Hey, I'd be glad to get you in as soon as possible.
And you're all about it, right? And you just you take it.
Right. You know what? Yeah. Because that is the grind.
Yeah.
Everyone pays their dues. Everyone's getting fucked in this business. Not equally, but everyone's getting fucked. You know what I'm saying? No one's fucking walking out without grabbing ankles at some point. That's what paying their dues is.
Put that in a fortune cookie.
You know, it's real talk. Yeah. And like I'm not naive. Like for the special, when it sold, I saw something that I was like, what the fuck? I was like, but you know what? This is a great problem to have. This is a great problem to have. And so I'm thinking of the next project. What do I want now? Well, they're like, we'll pitch you some pilots. And then I'm like, it's not my thing. Get me in the road. Give me a college agent. Give me an agent. Let's give me some fucking dates. So my management, I got a great management team.
I would also think outside the box as far as like closing the special. Like it seems like so many people are willing to help. Like maybe get that Make-A-Wish kid to touch Nicki Minaj's ass at the end of your special.
Yeah,
like
that's maybe. What I was doing. Are you trying to
think big like that? Is there something in the special? No, the big thing is the intro, you doing the special.
The next special we go over
there
the top.
There it is.
The Dan Cook Vicious Circle.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
What
I like
Harmful
it.
Have Swallowed. That's the one where we're like, okay. Now, what I want is trapeze artists swinging from the low improv ceiling. I want to
shoot Brad out of a cannon.
Yeah, I want Brad and buck naked popping out of a cake and say, Happy Death Day. And that's what I'm like, yo, did you see that coming? Did you motherfucker see that coming?
Nobody.
No one did.
I got to start doing some sit-ups.
All right. Well, I've donated. My mom's donated. I know a lot of people. Yeah, dude. She wants to meet you. So
she coming down for this? Well, movie?
Tell her to butt.
I don't know. She's.
I'm actually doing a show in Seattle in Bellevue.
When?
April 8th. April 8th. I'm doing the hour.
There you go.
Yeah, Puddin will be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Puddin will be there. Sounds like a great commercial tagline.
Yeah. She like many is incredibly inspired. What's awesome about you too, Quince, is that like you're not trying to be this like you just are being you like through all this, and you're like. Inspiring a lot of people.
I'm just trying to, I'm vocal, I'm honest, I'm open with my struggles, but I also realize that it's not that bad, and so I just keep going. I do what everyone else does, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah, people might be like, I don't know if I would do what you do. I'm like, you know what? Don't sell yourself short. I think you do exactly what I'm doing. Because I was already living my dream of doing comedy. I'm in one of the best cities in the world doing comedy, and I'm known in one of the best city of the comedy scenes of the world. What else could I possibly do? I'm like, a special. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I fell in love with New York skyline. I didn't fall in love with New York's rent. I'm staying in L.A. I'm staying in L.A. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's like, you just enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy this shit. I'm enjoying being here, looking at that fucking whistle pig. Bye. You know, that
Comedy League basketball wreck.
Yeah,
trophy,
man.
Third place.
The alcohol shelf here is top shelf. We got Belvedere, Grey Goose.
Yeah, got some Capri Sun.
Well, is that Bullet? Oh, Jesus, I got to go. I got to drink.
I got to drink.
I got to get out here before I drink.
Right. We got to drink, and you guys got to go see Quincy Jones do his special Monday, April 4th, Telegram Ballroom.
Yeah.
Get your tickets, telegramballroom.com.
Do that.
Set two shows, 7 p.m., 10 p.m.
Take that.
Go on time. Be there on time.
And the Kickstarter's still
alive. No, I just closed yesterday.
Okay.
But we made it to 50.
Holy
shit. $50,000. So
and
there's
it's a good thing we went over because specials are expensive. Remember, like when we had the small pipe dream of like fucking, okay, we're going to do West Side Comedy Theater and there's no fees, no permits. Book the thought. The ballroom that we're at right now is like 10 G's.
Yeah.
What? The permit, 11 G's.
Yeah.
That's not even including their labor, overtime, workers' comp, insurance, everything.
Adds up.
Oh, dog. I might be able to supersize a Happy Meal after this, man. I might be able to do something. I might get a fry. Like, people are like, any extra is going to be donated to Chris. There might not be no fucking extra. There might not. This shit is expensive.
You're doing it right, though.
Yeah. Oh,
well, you're putting it all in.
I'm looking for audience coordinator.
Are you really?
I need one because I got to have the front rows full of people who are open.
Let me reach out to the woman who does all the New York specials, and she did a house party, you know, Ed and Vines the last three seasons.
We know some people.
Killer.
Yeah, please. No, sir. And I'm like, expedited.
And I'm not, this is not lip service. I'll email her right after this.
Great.
She's the best.
Because I really, because I don't want fucking all comics in the front row being supportive and not laughing.
Dude,
it'd be like an hour-long open mic with myself. Like,
I almost feel like you should let the comics chill in a different right? And just let, or do you want everybody in?
I mean, we're doing two rows, columns or whatever. And like, I want the first like 2 to 4 rows filled with people who like they're okay with being filmed, obviously. Second, like who are okay with being talked to. They're not going to get shy.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because if I deal with someone who's shy, it's like, oh man, you're
going
to
shut it down.
You're going to shut down. Yeah. I got to be able to riff. It has to be.
So get there early.
Yeah.
And wear something sexy.
No, it's going to be a grown and sexy night.
And be
I'm
willing.
Suited and booted.
I was going to say,
baby, Aziz ain't got shit on me. All right? Aziz ain't got shit on what I'm about to
rock. You hear that, Aziz?
Ain't no purple suits either. We're going grown sexy.
You
man.
Hear that, Cedric the Entertainer?
Yeah, oh man. Oh, you don't even know.
Steve Harvey.
Get offered me a suit. I was like, nah, play it.
He offered you a suit?
I made it, man.
Can I tell you how obsessed I am with him on Family Feud?
Oh, man.
So have you met him?
Oh, man. Let's log off. I'll tell you about it.
No. I will know.
You want to hear about it?
Yes, please.
All right. So when I did Ellen, he was there that day, too.
Oh, my God.
So I did Ellen, and he was there. And he was like, I was watching you. You know what I was thinking? That boy could do couch. You know how many comedians can't do couch?
Oh.
Man, because you were natural. We're going to help you out. We're going to work with you. Take down my manager's number. We're going to set something up with you. We're going to work with you.
What?
I was like, yeah, man, you a legend. He's like, it's all about brands. He's like, I could do an hour and a half of material. You know what I'm saying? Get a laugh every fucking time. You know what I'm saying?
And while we're at it, give me the top 5 things you like on a sandwich.
But I was like, this guy, he's the only, whoever's publicist is, when he fucked up with the world,
spun that.
Yeah.
He got the fucking Verizon commercial.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
We're talking about brands. He was talking to me about brands. He's like, we're going to get you right.
Mm-hmm. Have you had contact since?
Yeah, man.
Good for you,
His management. He is
a savvy fucking dude.
Like, he has his own show. Mm-hmm. He hosts every fucking thing, and he's doing the show that Ellen's producing of Little Big Shots.
Yep.
Another thing he's hosting.
She's producing that?
She's producing
that's
that.
That's a power combo right there.
That right there.
Dude, good for... Dude,
he's going to be rocking a Steve Harvey type suit.
I don't know about that.
Suit.
Type suit.
By the way, you got balls to turn down a suit from Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I'm not as tall. Well, we're about the same size. I got a picture. I'll show you. But it was great.
He's right, though, man. It's tough to do couch, and you knocked it out of the park.
You just let the other person lead. You check your ego at the door. This is her show. She's letting you be on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you still brought it. Like, you listen, and you still, because you still, you know, acknowledging it still is like a comedy show, so you still, you know.
She's going to have me back. That's all I can tell you.
Hell yeah, dude. And we cannot wait for that day.
Quince, this was amazing, dude.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you guys.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
All right.
I had a great time.
I think we're going to have some bullet whiskey now.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Thanks, Q.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.